Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome back to your 5K journey. Lovely checking in with you again. I realise that today I sound a little bit like an ASMR content creator or something. I'm trying to create a bit of peace and calm for myself and for you. I'll go on and talk about it a bit more in the podcast episode, but I've been struggling a little bit with that this week just because I'm a little bit sleep deprived. But we'll go into this a bit more. On to Cara. Let's find out how she's doing. So she has been struggling a little bit this week with lack of motivation, just feeling generally a bit tired, struggling to get out of bed. And we believe that there is one perpetrator here to point the finger at. Well, maybe a few, but a particular one. And that is periods. Spoiler alert. We think that it's to do with her menstrual cycle. So we have a bit of a chat about this, what that cycle looks like and why there are times that make things feel a little bit more difficult for us. This is all very much from our own perspective and what we ourselves feel. We also talk a bit about tracking, and we also have a bit of a kind of fuck the patriarchy moment here, just talking about how tricky it is to manage tracking all of this stuff and making space for this stuff. Alongside all the other things that we have to worry about when it comes to our running journeys. So a bit of a cathartic one, but also hopefully an interesting chat for you there. She's also been pretty hungry over the last few weeks of training, which gets us talking about nutrition and exactly how we can be fueling. We're talking about cream eggs, and there's no shame on this podcast. Absolutely grab a cream egg if that's what you're wanting. But we also talk about some things that we can do to really fuel our runs for kind of long-lasting energy release before we go, and exactly how long we need to be waiting before we go out and run after we've eaten. All things that, again, we've got our own perspectives on, but that we basically suggest that Cara works out for herself because we're nasty and not helpful. Do listen in and see what we've got to say about that. I won't bang on any longer. Let's get into it. But very quickly first, if you want to join in and follow this training plan, you absolutely don't have to have been doing this since January. You can join in at any point. You can find that training plan in the show notes. It's just a 5K beginner plan. So you don't have to use ours even. You can find anyone you like, but the one we'd recommend is in the show notes. You can also sign up to our newsletter if you would like to hear from us even more regularly and get more support and advice between pods. And as always, don't forget to listen to the Women's Running Podcast episode every Thursday. It's our slightly longer one, though that being said, quite a long episode you got here this week as well. But we do have an hour-long episode that you can listen to. That's just me and Esther gassing, and that comes out every Thursday. And subscribe to the mag. Now's the time. You still get the free 5K guide if you do that today. So if you've been thinking about it, go ahead and do that now. Let's get into it.
This series of the Women's Running Podcast is sponsored by Vivo Barefoot.
Vivo Barefoot is on a mission to create footwear that brings you closer to nature. Esther, you always talk about how perfect your feet are. Well, it turns out that Vivo Barefoot agrees with you. Your feet are the perfect bits of kit, and humans have evolved to walk, move, and run barefoot. So what could be more natural than a shoe that enables you to do just that?
I do have perfect feet. Thanks, Vivo Barefoot. Their shoes are beautiful and are designed wide to provide natural stability, thin to enable you to feel more underfoot, and flexible to help you build your natural strength from the ground up.
Studies show that foot strength increases by 60% in a matter of months just by walking around in them. And they feel wonderful to move around in too.
They really do. Vivo Barefoot has a great range of shoes for kids and adults, and for every activity. Plus, their footwear is produced using sustainably sourced natural, bio, and recycled materials with the aim to protect the planet so you can run wild on it.
And if you've popped onto vivobarefoot.com and are having a browse of the gorgeous shoes, do check out Vivo Health while you're there. Vivo Health is an online platform for natural health. This has online courses, health assessment tools, and workshops that will help you improve foot strength, technique for both road and trail running, and more. Just pop along to vivobarefoot.com/UK/VivoHealth to find out more.
And we've saved the best bit till last. Vivo Barefoot are offering everyone a 100-day trial on their footwear. And you can pick up a pair today with an exclusive 15% discount for you, our lovely pod squad. Just use the code WOMENSRUNNING15 at the checkout.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the studio.
Please do not swear.
This is the BBC. It's not, as a disclaimer, in case anybody thinks that
no,
we are.
It's not.
So this is what, episode six are we on
this
now?
This is episode six.
Must be episode six.
Cara has, well, six. Anybody listening at home who's been following along with the times would just have done week five of training. Cara, have you just done week three? Okay,
yes.
Tell us, how was it?
It's been okay. It's been all right. So the first run was horrible. I don't know why. I feel like it's not even to do with the distances. I feel like it just has to do with the day, my mood, the time, how pissed off I am. And that could go either which way, if it's a good thing or a bad thing that I've ever run. But yeah, the first one was hard and I really struggled for motivation off the back of it, to be honest, because I was just like, oh, is this just getting harder? And I'm just on an uphill battle now. Yeah, has the novelty kind of worn off a bit? That kind of thing. But got through it. And was still proud of myself that I did it, even though I didn't want to do it. And then I did a couple of rest days because, as to previous podcasts, like my calves and my shins, are getting quite tired. They're not hurting loads, but they're just quite tight no matter how much I stretch. So I did a couple of rest days and that seemed to kind of sort me out a little bit. They relaxed a little bit, which was good. Yeah, just been super tired and really struggling for motivation a little bit. And I really had to rip the Band-Aid off to do my second run this week for sure.
Yeah.
I meant to go in the morning. I woke up in the morning and was like, no, I literally, no, not today. But then did the whole put myself in a gym kit, forced myself into shame and got out at lunchtime when I was, yeah, quite low mood. And that was actually worked quite well. I felt like the second run, again, I just think I'm a bit of a lunchtime runner. I was feeling quite low patience and frustrated. And yeah, the second run was actually good and kind of didn't cure me of said things, but put me in a slightly better mood. So that was the good part. But yeah, I think overall this week, just kind of figuring out the low motivation with it slightly, yeah, and the ripping of the band-aid. I think it's the first time that I've had that a little bit since the start.
Yeah, so, I definitely don't want to jump to conclusions that I'm not qualified to jump to, because I'm not a doctor, especially not an expert in like hormones and stuff. But we've been talking about this quite a lot on the pod at the moment. We had a question from friend of the pod and friend of ours, Cara Lex, who was having a bit of a similar thing where she was finding that like it didn't seem to matter what control, if she kept all the control variables the same, some runs were just shite and some runs felt really good. And I do wonder whether if it's felt like this week as a whole rather than just an individual run, that maybe it's a cycle thing and you've tipped into, Esther, what phase would it be? Do you know?
Oh, okay. Christ knows. I never know. The only one I can remember is luteal, and I think that's the good one.
Maybe it's the luteal phase. I don't know whether it's the luteal phase, but I wonder if it's like, yeah, if you've tipped into a bit of a hormonal phase, that might just be one to note to yourself that in your diary that you found it tough this week and see what happens next month.
I think, so I, the week before my period will have been this week. So angry, frustrated, Carl, hating the world.
The worst week.
The worst week. So that would make a lot of sense. I'm still getting used to this whole hormone business. Oh, yeah. Like, I don't, when do you get used to it and start like recognizing like your
mate, I am 50 and I'm supposed to be losing my period and I am not used to it and I hate myself because of it. So like
every time, like awful. I think I messaged Tol at some point in the week and was like, oh, I'm really bloody grumpy today, like beware kind of thing. And then when I said that out loud, I was like, oh, maybe it's my period. I don't know.
But we've been conditioned from an early age for when our mums were like, could it be your period? To be like, fuck off. So I find it very difficult to accept.
But I find it it's a rope to hang yourself with as well, isn't it? Like if I do feel really, really, really upset or really angry or whatever, I'll look at my period tracker and think, oh, it must be my period soon. Find out it's in 2 weeks' time and go, oh, for fuck's sake, it's just because the world is awful then.
Yeah.
You know, it's nothing to do with me.
I can't even blame it on anything. I know.
But that was something I was going to say about Lex, and I think maybe this might be a good time to bring it up now, that you've talked about whole putting something in your diary, and I reckon actually, Cara, you could really do with having a specific running diary to write down. Oh yeah, and Hol's got something for you, actually. I think, to write down when you've run, what the run felt like, and how hard it was for you.
We've kindly got given this by a lovely. I don't think I know her. I can remember her name specifically. Kate?
I think her name's Raj.
Raj is part of Midlife Runners. And she gave us this book. It is specifically about tracking park runs, but there's absolutely no reason that you need to use it for park runs. It's just got a little like diary entries sort of thing where it prompts you to write down some of the things that might have had effects on how you felt about it, like weather conditions, how you were feeling, what your mood was that day, highlights and lowlights of the thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think things like that can be really useful if you can look at your running over the space of a month, and that's obviously really important for women. But because like when Lex spoke to us, she was like, why was this run on this day really hard and this run on this day really easy? And actually, she gave us, there were some variables, and one was because she was doing one in the evening and one she was doing one in the morning. And so we were able to sort of give her some idea of why that there may have been some differences between those two runs because of how much fuel you've got inside you, like kind of whether, you know, just there's some different motivations between going early in the morning and going later in the evening and stuff like that. But like, if you track all of your runs over like 4 weeks or 5 weeks or something, and write down what time they are, what you've eaten, what the weather's like, how stressed you feel before you go for that run. Mm. And that can be like, that can be a good thing or a bad thing. And that was, we also discussed that, didn't we? Because like, actually, if you are quite work stressed or something, going for the run can make you feel a bit better. So that might actually be quite a nice tick in the box. I mean, what breakfast or lunch you've eaten, and kind of, you can then track your kind of hormonal moods as well. And it just means that the next month, as you carry on your running journey, you can look back to the previous 5 weeks and just think, actually, no, it's okay. It's okay to feel shit on a particular run, because actually all these variables mean that it is going to be awful on that day. And I mean, there's the really good thing about having it as well is then you've got an actual written document and you can look back on it and be really super proud of yourself because of how far you've come. And I think in the moment, like on that run this week or whatever, I mean, I'm glad you said that you were proud of yourself, but I think this would give you, you know, like 4 or 5 weeks of documentation to make you really, really proud of yourself and just think, oh God, actually 5 weeks ago, I was just walking it. And now I'm doing great big, because this, everything that you're doing, like this couch to 5K, that was another thing I was thinking about. It's like, lots of it is to do with overcoming mental barriers as opposed to physical barriers.
Yeah.
Like you're strong and you do quite a lot of exercise. And so you doing a 5K is just not questioned. You can do it. We know that you can do it, but you don't. So doing that couch to 5K kind of run, walk gives you the kind of mental kind of like, kick up the bum to make you think, oh, actually, you know, maybe I could do 2 minutes, or maybe I could do 2.5 minutes in one go, kind of thing. So that's all that's doing to you, is making you feel kind of, I don't know, confident in yourself, in your own ability.
Yeah.
But your legs can do it.
I love that. And I think it is totally about kind of a mental thing. And I think it's not, like with anything, sometimes it's shit and sometimes it's good. And I don't think necessarily, obviously it'd be good to mitigate the shit ones or the shit times, but also they happen. And like with anything, sometimes you've just got to look at it and be like, oh, okay, that one was a bit shit, but that doesn't mean the whole thing is shit and I should never run again. which I think if you're not a seasoned runner and you haven't gone through those cycles or recognized those times, if you hit a couple of bad ones, it's easy to be like, oh, well, hit the 3 week mark and this isn't for me anymore. So I'm going to stop now. I think I totally agree. And it is and I'm interested to see when they'll come. So it's come a bit in week 3. I'm hoping it will go in an upward trajectory again. And I assume it will come back around again where I'm like, oh, fuck this.
Absolutely. Yeah, then maybe at week 6 or something. But yeah, and the other thing is like that kind of linearity that we'd hope for in that couch to 5K journey isn't linear, and it's going to be the same as any upwards graph, that it will be like going up and down in spikes all the way up, but that you will have little downy bits. But if you've got that documentation where you can look back, you'll be like, oh Jesus Christ, but look where I was.
Yeah,
you know, even when you do have a bad day. Oh, yeah, I had a shit run this morning.
I had a shit run yesterday.
I don't know why.
And I feel like a bit of fraud because of the fact that I put it on social media and I was like, everybody, here's how to motivate yourself. And the actual running bit, I did find, like running through treacle, I've just been absolutely knackered at the moment. I don't know why, but my sleep, I've always been quite lucky with my sleep, that even when I've been in real anxious periods, or I've generally found it not too difficult to get to sleep. And then once I'm asleep, maybe I will wake up once in the night. But that also only tends to be through things that I'm doing to myself. So like, I'll definitely wake up in the night if I've drunk too much booze and have a classic, I'm a piece of shit at 3 o'clock in the morning. But like in, or if I've drunk loads of water or something, then maybe I'll need a wee. But generally I sleep all the way through. But for the last week solidly, I have been waking up multiple times in the night. And just having like really, really trash sleep. And so actually it did feel really trudgy. I felt really good after it because I was really proud that I did it, even though I felt like I was really knackered. But yeah, it's tough. And also it's really freaking me out, guys. I found myself like Googling at 2 a.m. this morning being like, why is my sleep suddenly shit? And why do I keep waking up for like no reason? And everything's like, probably alcohol. And I was like, well, I didn't drink tonight, read on. Probably the fact that you didn't do any exercise today. I was like, well, I went for a run this morning, so fucking read on. And then it was like, I couldn't find an explanation as to why it was happening, and I was really freaking out. Anyway, sorry, therapy session alert.
Well, and sleep is, I personally, I'm shite at drinking water. I'm not great at being consistent with eating well. I'm not great at being consistent with exercising consistently. But my one thing is, yeah, sleep. And the same, if there's any interruption to it, change to a routine or waking up in the night or anything like that, I'm just completely broken as a human because it's so important. And then what do you do? Because then you start panicking because in the middle of the night, because you know that you're getting less sleep and you've got this run or you've got this thing and you've got to work. And it's just the absolute worst when that happens. I think the best advice my dad actually gave me, who's a chronic,
insomniac.
And yeah, I was talking to him this last year because I was really struggling. And the best thing that he ever said was just so simple. He was just like, just get up. Because if you know your body after time, whether you are going to be able to lie there and get back to sleep and do the classic meditation or whatever it is that everybody recommends, and you know your body, and if it's not going to happen and you're just going to sit there spiraling for hours upon hours, then just get up and do something until you're tired again. Because otherwise, yeah, you just welcome in that entire process, which is horrendous, of just lying there worrying about the fact that you're lying there awake.
I think that is really good advice. I think it's really helped just knowing that, like, quite a lot of the time I won't get up, like the bark is worse than the bite sort of thing, and actually I'm probably only awake and ruminating for 20 minutes or something, but like it feels like a very, very long time. But just knowing that you're like able to do that, because I think that there's still like a little childish part in all of us that's like, oh, I'm not allowed to, like it's nighttime, so like I've just got to lie here and this sucks. It's like, no, you you run your household, you're allowed to get up and go and like read a book
go
or watch some Queer Eye.
Eye.
Exactly. Is there any series of Queer Eye at the moment?
There is a new series of Queer Eye, everybody.
Brilliant. Well, that's this week. But yeah, that really helps. And my mum also always used to say to me, and love her, I don't think that this is necessarily scientifically true, but it really helps that panic feeling of like, oh, I've got work in the morning. Oh, I've got to run. Oh, I've got to do this, blah, blah. Of rest is almost as good as sleep. That like...
Yeah, I remember hearing
that. I don't know
that.
If it's true.
That's why I always try and make myself
but
feel better.
But it does make you feel better in the moment because you're like, well, if I continue to lie here and read my book or lie here and think about what I'm going to have for my HelloFresh delivery tomorrow or whatever, then at least that's sort of doing a bit of a similar thing than if I was doing that, lying, but having weird hallucinations like we do as human beings instead. So
yes, absolutely. But I mean, the other thing I was going to talk about was the same thing that I was talking about a second ago, which is periods. And I know that, Hold, you don't get them at the moment, do
Extra
you?
Extra confusing I don't think. To me because I definitely have a cycle that I can note because I've written down in my diary before, like, crap day today, no reason or whatever. And then I've worried that I put it in the work calendar, classic. But
I would definitely suggest monitoring that much, much, much more closely because I now know, and the only reason I know it is because I'm on HRT, which I have to take at regular times, which has made my periods regular. So I know, so I am definitely on a 4-week cycle, which is lush. But that means I know precisely there is a week where I have terrible sleep. And it's like I go to sleep and it's fine. And I don't necessarily have wakey bits, but I have lots of dream. And I can tell it. I mean, I was showing you, wasn't I, with my HRV. So I was showing Hull in the last podcast that we did that I could actually see it on my Garmin Connect app. that through my heart rate that I was having kind of some a miserable kind of couple of weeks, and then it goes back up again to kind of a nice couple of weeks. And in the miserable couple of weeks, I have shit sleep, and I've got loads of dreams, and I'm sort of more prone, obviously, because if you're in REM, you're more prone to wake up in any case. And yeah, so lots of light sleep, light and kind of frantic, like rabbit chasing sleep. Yeah,
dreaming is and a big then, part of it as well. Yeah. Like sorry guys, this is supposed to be Cara's 5K check-in session. Here I am pouring my soul out to you. But no. This is what I've been worrying about at 3 o'clock in the morning. But yeah, I have had incredibly vivid dreams for the last week. And they've been like classic stress dreams. Really silly, but like to you in the moment, they feel really, really real and like, oh my God, I need to do something about that. Like, I need to clean the hamster cage out or whatever. But you're like really vividly like, I must do this thing. And then it wakes you up at 2 o'clock in the morning in a cold sweat, like the hamsters. And then you're like, oh, that's not real.
I had that last night as well, where even after I woke up at like 4 o'clock in the morning, I spent half an hour convinced that my dream was real. And it was some guilt for something that I hadn't done like 3 years ago that my dream had convinced me I had. And I was like, oh my God, shut up, brain. And then by the time I actually woke up in the morning, I was like, that was mental. I completely convinced myself I was a different person.
Yeah, I was in a huge mood with Doug all day because I thought that I thought in the night I'd been like, oh mate, I'm a bit like, I'm having really bad anxiety. Like, can I have a hug? And he was like, nah. I was convinced that happened. And so he went to go and kiss me before he went to work. And I was like, And then like we had like a whole, like I wasn't really like in a hugely good mood with him. And then he got home at the end of his work day and was like, you're right. And I was like, yeah, it just really upset me in the night that you were like, no. And you knew that I was having really bad anxiety. I thought that was a bit selfish. And he was like, that didn't happen. And I was like, what?
Oh, no.
I was so confused.
God. Oh.
I am very interested, though, like you said, Esther, like at the moment, similarly, well, not to out Hole, she hasn't talked about this before, but I was about to say similarly to Hole, I'm also on like the hormonal coil, which I have to get replaced. Like in a few weeks. I know. Like, I'm going to try and not think about it and just again rip the band-aid off. But yeah, I've been really playing with the idea, not for fertility's sake, but playing with the idea of coming off of it, just to figure out, like, because my periods are all over the goddamn place. Like at the moment I'm like a week and a half late, which I think also contributed to a week of me being in an awful mood. But I just can't figure that, like, my cycle is all over the place, except for being extremely grumpy and depressed and being like.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast. And up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Or maybe my period's going to happen soon. That's the only like chartable thing. And so part of me is quite tempted to come off and do natural cycles or whatever it is to find out. But then the other part of me is like, I've been on birth control since I was 15, so however many, kind of do that math, for 13-14 years, and I don't know, I'm a bit scared to find out what
I
my
feel
body
exactly
is like
the
in a cycle and how bad it could be. And I this does all relate back to running, because it's about motivation and stuff.
It doesn't matter, in fact, as you know, it's been requested, please guys, if we can talk less about running. I think I have exactly the same fear, Car. I worry about it all the time. I don't want to slag it off on the pod because I haven't had a personal experience with it. And this isn't like my concrete view. I'm not coming for natural cycles. I have heard that quite a lot of people have had like experiences with natural cycles where it hasn't been very good form of contraception. I think that, yeah, I would definitely similarly be tempted to do something like that as well, because I just want to know what I want to know what my periods are like. I want to know I can have a period because it's been so long.
Yeah, I mean, when are they going to sort that out so it's men and not women?
Honestly,
like, why
I'm
are
so
we chucking ourselves full of all these kind of horrific hormones? And like, the only time that I feel like I fully understood my cycle and its ups and downs and everything was when I was trying for a baby. And so I was in my, by that stage, I was mid to late 30s, actually. And I had been on the pill for like decades by that stage. It was ridiculous. And it did feel like I had to kind of give my body a break afterwards to kind of get itself so that it knew itself. And I think I probably had, it feels like, as a grown-up, I've had 2 years of good trackable periods, because I was either that I was, you know, trying for a baby, I could purposefully monitor. And to the day, I had these kind of rigid cycles. It was brilliant. I could tell exactly when I was ovulating, when I was going to have my period, all that kind of thing. Since I've had the kids, it's all gone to shit. But that I've not had to worry about having any kind of contraception, because Dave got the snip. So I would recommend that.
Yeah, I do feel like, I mean, I once came off of the pill onto nothing, and I didn't get a period for like 13 months. And I didn't get back into cycle until then. I was back in a relationship again, and I was back on the pill again. So I did have a break, and I still didn't figure out kind of what my body was doing.
Just goes to show how much those kind of hormones can really fuck with everything that's going on in your body.
Absolutely. And it's the, I mean, we won't get started on the political landscape of this, but I just find it so incredibly frustrating that we don't have that information about our bodies, and we seem to be on this endless mission through our entire lives as women to try and figure ourselves out and figure out our hormones and
to medicalize.
And make sense.
I mean, it's ridiculous. Fuck the patriarchy.
Fuck the patriarchy.
Absolutely.
I'm currently just trying to find, though I'm outing myself for not being able to find it on our own website now. I just was wondering if it would be helpful for us in the meantime to understand a little bit more about the cycles. Like, I think that I'm in an incredibly privileged position working for a women's brand that's meant that, like, we've had hormone testing, like, we've spoken to professionals, like, we've spoken to doctors and stuff, and I still feel a little bit none the wiser all the time. So I was just wondering whether there was...
But then I can really understand why you'd feel none the wiser, because you don't actually have a period. So everything is guesswork,
everything is
isn't
guesswork.
It? It's like you can feel a cyclical thing at work, you know, in the background. And I feel the same now, because I feel like my cycles are false because it's HRT prompted, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm not quite sure what would happen. Well,
it's almost doing like a mood tracker or something and just trying to figure out, like, coming back to doing it with running. Yeah. I think it does the same with potentially trying to find similarities in that journey and how it could relate to your cycle. And if it, if in week seven, I'm saying the same thing to you guys, you can be like,
exactly.
Well, maybe we've got something here.
That. And that's why it's so good. Like, sometimes it can feel quite sort of twee to kind of, you know, put like a sort of happy emoji next to a run or something if you're writing it down and documenting it. But actually, that's really good. And I quite enjoy it, because now on Garmin, for instance, every time I finish a run, it's got a little thing where it says, how did this run feel? And it does mean that I can track when a run is particularly hard. I'll put a severely grumpy face next to a run, And that does tend to coincide with phases of period and stuff. So it's the week before. It's always the
I don't know why, but that's really brought me back to like in primary school once, all of the girls weren't getting on. And our teacher, after every single playtime, made us put whether we had a happy, a medium or sad playtime with emojis. Not emojis, because the emojis weren't a thing at that point in time, but with little stickers. And she figured out who was the bullier and who was the bullied as part of that little routine. So you can find a lot with happy and sad.
Which period
faces.
Is going to be the Regina George of periods?
Yes, exactly.
I was just having a brief look. I would love to be able on this episode to actually break down the different cycles. I know we've got it somewhere on our website, but I can't find it. I have been having a little look, and obviously there are plenty of apps that you can use to track, like Flow and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like there are loads of those, aren't there? I'm sure everybody has their preferred ones, but I didn't realize that your Garmin can track your period. Mm-hmm. Have you ever done that, Esther? Oh, and is it useful?
No, and I don't know. So no, because I use my own one. I use something called P Tracker for periods, and I have that completely separate. No, I've never linked the two, and actually I think I should. And you know what?
I think I will report back and let us know whether that's worth doing.
I shall.
And I will go away and I'm going to do some research about how you can track your period if you don't have one, because it is genuinely something that I find frustrating. Like I was saying earlier,
or if yours is all over the bloody
place. Or if yours is all over the bloody place and you can't, like Esther and I did a hormone test a little while ago, and it was really interesting, but I had nothing to actually compare my results to like when I did it, because I couldn't give any indication of where I was in my cycle, because they do it off when was your last period, and I don't have periods, so I just had to put not applicable, and then none of the results mean anything. It's just numbers.
And Cara, you've got Fitbit, haven't you?
Yes.
So have you looked on the app?
Yes. They do have something on there, don't they?
They do. They've got menstrual tracking as well. So you can go off and do your homework too. And that might be a bit easier than writing it down in a notebook and just sort of...
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Well, okay, we have the other thing about this, and I was going to say maybe this is also connected to cycles and periods, but I don't know if it is, because it's been the entire time that I've been running, is it normal to be hungry all of the goddamn time because I'm literally doing like a tiny bit more exercise?
I don't like you are.
It's not just one cream egg in the evening. It's at least two cream eggs in the evening.
I think that is completely fair, first of all. And I support two cream eggs in the evening as a philosophy. But I was going to say, I was thinking about this the other day for you, and I don't think that you are doing just a tiny bit more exercise. Like the you doing Couch to 5K has also coincided with you getting a dog that you need to walk quite lengthily for three times a day.
Yeah.
Like you've gone from like doing, you know, probably the average amount of exercise as somebody who has a sedentary job would do, to like being up and on your feet and out of the house three, four times a day for quite lengthy periods of time. So I think it's completely normal. And if your body's telling you, I need more fuel to be doing all of this, then give it what it's asking for.
Yeah, I think what I'm worried about is what fuel it's asking for. It like it's not asking for apples and grains. It's asking for more cream eggs, cheese, and bread. And
all those things are worthy. Maybe if we've not talked about nutrition before, have we? Did we ever talk
not
about
really,
nutrition?
Though, no, again, I do think that I'm a bit conscious that this whole episode has basically been stuff that we really should get an expert to talk about on, because I don't think that this is going to be of any use to anybody. But yes, we should get a nutritionist on. But what were you going to say?
What I was going to say was, have you thought about when you're eating? Like, are you fueling enough before you go for your run? Because I think maybe going for a run or doing these dog walks or whatever, if you're doing those hungry, then you're just going to get hungrier and hungrier and hungrier, and maybe think a little bit more about the sort of food that's going to benefit you, like your entire body, before you go for a run. So make sure that you do have breakfast if you're going for a morning run. And I know that can be sometimes a bit tricky or whatever. And if you can't have breakfast, just think about having breakfast when you get back. And I think kind of like you don't need to eat weird food. You don't need to suddenly start chugging protein shakes or anything like that. But the kind of the rule of thumb is that before you do exercise, a good thing to make yourself feel kind of like energized while you're doing the exercise is to have carbohydrate in some form before you do it. And then after you've done some exercise, a good rule of thumb is to have a bit of protein afterwards. So that could be anything at all. You could be having, don't know, a bit of toast before you go, and then like toast and peanut butter when you come back, you know, or like cheese on toast or something like that. And those two things, the protein afterwards, will help replenish your muscles and make you feel as if you're less prone to snacking and those kinds of things if that's bothering you.
Yeah, and I think it's that before as well, because I never forget when we used to go to a yoga studio and they always said don't eat like an hour before you do yoga. And that's always stayed with me to the point that now I'm like, oh, don't eat an hour before you do any exercise. And so
I mean,
especially
I eat while I run. So like,
yeah, I think
know,
it's whatever
and
feels
lots of
good.
People that run long distances. I don't eat loads and loads. I'm not going to sit there and have a full English breakfast and then go for a run.
Yeah.
But I definitely have like half a cereal bar or a banana, and then I will literally go straight out the
door. And I guess the reason you're not eating that full English breakfast is not because you shouldn't. It's because it's probably very good for you to do that, to be honest, before you go for a run. It's a great idea. But I guess it's knowing what's going to make you feel like that's probably going to make the majority of people feel not very well if they do it straight before.
You really, really do not want to be going running after you've had a full meal. No, absolutely not. But
I was just trying to say, I would have the just full English breakfast. Not because should or shouldn't, but because of how it makes you feel, Carl. So I think like...
No. I think it's a really bad idea to go running when you've got like 800 calories around running, sloshing around in your stomach. That would make you shit yourself. I don't.
So is that because you're kind of digesting at the same time?
Not feel comfortable. It's like, I mean, if you can imagine going for a 5K after having a roast dinner.
But that's just what I was like trying to say. It's because of making you feel comfortable or not comfortable. And I guess that's all the yoga instructor would have been trying to say, is that like, it would be to stop you from like, if you're like moving around doing lots of positions and you've just had a big meal. But in terms of like, should or shouldn't, like, I think, you know, finding whatever feels right for you, that's your fuel before you go and do something. Like, yeah, an hour is probably quite a good window to have been able to digest something, but whatever you enjoy eating and makes you feel like it's gonna tide you over, sort of thing. I bloody love having porridge at the moment. I have no idea whether I should or shouldn't, but I don't like people who... like coaches or whatever who have like said that kind of stuff in the past, because it's like, what do you mean should or shouldn't? Like, it's whatever you...
Yeah, and that's not what I'm trying not to say that. It's definitely, I'm not saying you should eat this and then you should eat that. What I'm saying is absolutely agreeing with Holly, like, you know, experiment with food to see what works for you. But all I'm saying is that I think that maybe if you're running or going for dog walks hungry, that's more likely to make you reach for like sugar and stuff later on.
Yeah.
It just is, because I feel exactly the same. But one thing that really helps is having protein afterwards, which is going to be really good for muscle development and feeling stronger and endurance and stuff like that. So actually, instead of having... Cheese, and instead of having, if you eat meat, instead of having, which you don't, but instead of having that the big fry up before you go for a run, have it when you come back. You know, like we know, like having a roast dinner after we've come back from a run is great, because you're having all the veg, you're having all the protein, you're having, you know, everything on that plate is great. But just before you go for your run, just make sure you've got something just to sort of tide you over, kind of thing. So yeah, I have.
Well, if
cereal
I'm
bar.
Experimenting, then it will be 10 to 15 cream eggs a day.
Maybe that's what works.
I'll let you guys know how that
Let's
fuel
see.
Works.
Put it on your chart.
Yeah, exactly. log your experience with 10 to 15 cream eggs and see how it goes.
I don't even think I liked chocolate this much, but yeah, every evening I'm just like, bring out the chocolate.
Hang on a minute though. Yeah. Has that been in the last week?
No, actually, it has been longer than that. It has been basically January, and maybe that's just because January is a bit depressing.
Yeah, and so. Stressful. January. Yeah, you've got a new pup, and it's stressful. And there may have been other ways that you'd used to kind of reward yourself for having a long, stressful day before that you're not quite able to do so much anymore because you've got another person to think about that you're like, pop a cream egg in instead.
Very true.
Not in a weird way, in the mouth.
In the mouth. Whatever works for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's what I'm trying to say. I'm not a nutritionist. And Esther's definitely right that, like, you shouldn't eat a full English just before you run. And I do want to disclaim to everybody listening that, yes, please don't do that. But I guess that's just what I was meaning was, yeah, trying, working out what feels good for you and worrying about, like, I mean, noticing changes in your diet is totally cool, but if you're thinking, oh, I shouldn't want a cream egg afterwards because that doesn't feel like a thing that a running coach or somebody would tell me to do, whatever, Carl, it's up to you. If you want a cream egg and if that feels right for you and it nourishes your body after you've been for a run, bloody go for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed. Absolutely.
Well, there we go. I'll be eating all of the cream eggs. I'll report back next week as I roll into the office. And,
so, but what is next week for you? What's on your plan? So you're going into week four, yeah? So what's that?
Okay. So next week, week four, Carl, you're looking at doing 3 1-minute running, 2-minute. Sorry, it's so confusing trying to do this, guys. Okay, let me try again. 4 3 minutes running, 2 minutes walking. And then a round of 3 4-minute running, 2 minute walking. Then around another round of that same. So 3 4-minute running, 2 minutes walking. So it's a bit more running this week, but you know,
how does that feel?
It feels okay. Mm-hmm. It feels okay. We'll see. I've got my third run of this week today at lunchtime, which I'm hoping will go well. And then I'll be like, yes, I can do 3 minutes and 4 minutes. Mm-hmm. But also if I need to repeat the 2 minute weeks in order to get there, then I will do that as well. Because at the moment, stepping up to 4 minutes, I'm like, oh, but I'm going to trust the process and see.
Well, you've got a 3 minute first before you have to step up to the 4. So try not to worry about the 4 yet.
Yeah.
I reckon tackle the 3. Mm. And if you are struggling with it, Cara, as well, you're completely right. You can definitely repeat, but also you can always go a bit slower if you're like, oh, bloody hell, this kills. The running bit doesn't have to be speedy.
Guys, I go so slow. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I maybe one to talk about for next week, but I haven't been tracking how far I've been going at all. And I'm very interested because I have no idea how fast I go, how far I'm running. I'm just doing what it says on the tin. And it could turn out, guys, that I'm literally just walked very slowly down one street this entire time.
This is one for next week because I think I would love to, because this is controversial, actually, because if you were to follow, say, for instance, the Couch to 5K app, it says Couch to 5K, but it's not. It's Couch to 30 minutes, isn't it? And so it's like you may find, you know, when you get to the end of 10 weeks or whatever, that you know, you may not have got to 5K, but that's the fault of
well,
us.
This plan does finish at 5K, but it's it just might be a bit of a bigger jump up because your longest time in minutes you do before the goal 5K, which again, we'll talk about when we get to it, I guess, what that's going to look like. But you will run 30 minutes nonstop. That's like the longest run in the plan. But then it does have the goal 5K after that. It depends, doesn't it? Yeah, because some people can run 5K in 40 minutes and that's quite a big jump up, whereas if you're running a 5K in 35 minutes you'll be totally ready to do that. So I guess let's see how it goes when we get to that point. For those people doing the week 6, that is looking like 2 rounds of 8 minutes running and 3 minutes walking. Same thing again. And oh, and then finally, you're looking at 2 rounds of 8 minutes running and 2 minutes walking. So 8-3, 8-3, 8-2. And 2 of those each time. Oh, it is okay. Really nasty for people to listen to. I'm really sorry. Just download the plan. It's in the show notes.
It's in the show notes. It's in the show notes. And if you've got any questions, then email us at wrpodcast@anthem.co.uk with any kind of questions about the sort of office chair to 5K journey and anything about nutrition, because we don't have the answers to those, but we can ask someone
exactly.
That does.
So, exactly. Good. What Esther said, really, I don't know if I have much more to add. Do email us. We would love to hear from you. That's wrpodcast@anthem.co.uk. Any questions, any advice, feel free to send it in. As per, check out our other podcast. You can hear that every Thursday. And sign up for the mag. Sign up to get the newsletter. It's all in the show notes. You know by now. I've said it so many times. Take care. Enjoy your journey, whether it's 5K, whether you're following the plan along with us, or whether you've got your own plans going on. You do you. And I hope you enjoyed listening. Catch us next week and we'll speak to you soon.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.